And now, the Sunday plays. As part of Radio 3's Inventing America season, we've a double bill of plays by Eugene O'Neill. The Worcester Group's extraordinary adaptation of The Emperor Jones will follow at 8:20. But first, Huey, introduced for us by Professor Chris Bixby.
Huey came late in Eugene O'Neill's career. Indeed, its first production in 1958 took place several years after his death, though it was written at the beginning of the Second World War, shortly after he finished work on The Iceman Cometh. To all intents and purposes, a monologue, it consists of the stories told by a hotel guest to the night clerk, stories designed, above all, to defer the moment when he'll have to climb the stairs to his solitary room, where today, tomorrow, death waits. The hotel, we're told, is forced to deteriorate in order to survive, and much the same could be said of the central character in Huey, whose life seems empty of the very energy and variety which his stories seem to celebrate. Meanwhile, his nervous chatter contrasts with the sullen resignation of the clerk, who simply waits out his time, measuring his days with the reassuring banalities of routine. The Huey of the title never puts in an appearance. He is the former night clerk, now dead, who his successor is invited to replicate, as if there can be no acknowledgement of death, as though the two figures were necessarily interchangeable. O'Neill was himself born in a hotel room and feared the prospect of one day dying in one. Indeed, in some ways, Huey can be seen as the self-portrait of a writer who himself, of course, was a generator of stories, pitching his fictions against a growing sense of absurdity, against the ironies of existence. For the fact is that O'Neill was suffering from a Parkinson's-like disease, which slowly stripped him of the power to write. It could take him 15 minutes to inscribe his own name. And indeed, Huey is the closest O'Neill came to writing like Samuel Beckett. It's certainly tempting to hear echoes of Crap's Last Tape, or even Waiting for Godot in this play, in which two people pass the time, waiting for what they fear and perhaps welcome. In November 1953, 5 years before Huey received its first production, Eugene O'Neill, the great storyteller, was finally silenced. He died in a hotel room.
Bay Area Radio Drama presents Huey by Eugene O'Neill, directed by Jose Quintero, with Jason Robards as Erie and Jack Dodson as the night clerk. Huey by Eugene O'Neill.
Key.
Hmm?
Key. Oh, forgot, sir. You ain't seen me before. Erie Smith's the name. I'm an old-timer in this flea bag. 492.
492. Yes, sir.
How long have you been on the job? 4 or 5 days. Oh, well. I've been off on a drunk. Yep. Come to now, though. Tapering off. Well, I'm glad they fired that young squirt they took on when Huey got sick. One of them fresh, wise punks. You couldn't tell him nothing. Well, pleased to meet you, pal. I hope you stick around.
Glad to know you, Mr. Smith.
What's your name?
Hughes. Charlie Hughes.
Huh? Hughes? Say, is that on the level?
Charlie Hughes.
Well, I'll be damned. What the hell do you know about that? Say, now I notice it. You don't look like Huey, but you remind me of him somehow. You ain't by any chance related?
Oh, you mean to the Hughes that worked here so long and died recently?
Yeah.
No, sir. No relation.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Huey told me he had no relations left, except his wife and kids, of course. Oh, yeah, poor guy croaked last week. His funeral would have started me off on a bat. Sub-drunk. Well, I don't want one often. No, no.
bungled in my book. Guy gets careless. Gabs about things he knows, and when he comes to, he's liable to find there's guys who'd feel easier if he wasn't around no more. That's the trouble with knowing things. Take my tip, pal. Don't ever know nothing. Be a sap and stay healthy. But I always keep my noggin working. Booze or no booze, I'm no sucker. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, some drunk. I sure hit the high spots. Should have seen the doll I made the night before last. Did she take me to the cleaners? I'm a sucker for blondes. You're married, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I laid 10 to 1 on it. You got that old look like Huey had. Maybe that's the resemblance. Kids, too, I bet.
Yes, sir, 3.
You're worse off than Huey was. He only had 2. 3, huh? Well, that's what comes from being careless.
Yeah. Eddie, the oldest, is 11 now. Fred is 12.
Well, I suppose marriage ain't such a bum racket if you're made for it. Now, Huey didn't seem to mind it so much, but if you want my lowdown, his wife is a bum in spades. Or I don't mean cheating out. With her puss and figure, she'd never make no one except she raided a blind asylum.
Hi, my feet ache. I wish 492 had stopped talking and go to bed.
How old are you? Now, you wait. Let me guess. You look 50 or over, but I'll let you 10 to 1. You're 43 or maybe 44.
I'm 43.
I win, huh? Oh, I sure can call the turn on ages, buddy.
Maybe it is 44.
You ought to see the dolls get sored up when I pull it on that. Yeah, you're like Huey. Uh-huh. Looked like he'd never see 50 again, and he was only 43.
Maybe I ought to get those shoes I see advertised for Fallen Arches. Yeah, they cost $8, so that's all.
Make another little bet on you. Born and raised in the sticks, wasn't you?
Well, I come originally from Saginaw, Michigan, but I've lived in the big town so long I consider myself a New Yorker now.
Oh, I don't deserve no medal for picking that one, no. Nearly every guy I know on the big stem, and I know most of them, hails from the sticks. Now, take me. You'd never guess it, but I was dragged up in Erie, PA. Ain't that a knockout? Erie, PA? That's how I got my moniker. No one calls me nothing but Erie. You better call me Erie, too, pal, or else I won't know when you're talking to me.
All right, Erie.
Attaboy. Here's another knockout. Smith is my real name. Broadway guy like me named Smith, that's my real name. Ain't that a knockout? You know, I don't remember nothing much about Erie, PA, you understand? Or want to. Oh, boy, that was some punk bird. After grammar school, my old man put me to work in his store dealing out groceries. Some punk job. But I stuck it. Yeah, stuck it. Till I was 18 before I took a run-out powder. Speaking of marriage, now that was the big reason I ducked. A doll nearly had me hooked for the old shotgun ceremony. Wow, closest I ever come to being played for a sucker. This doll in Erie, Daisy was her name, one of them dumb, wide-open dolls, all the guys give her a play. Then one day, she wakes up and finds out she's going to have a kid. Well, I never figured she meant to frame me in particular. Way I figured she didn't have no idea who, so she holds a lottery all by herself. Put about 1,000 guys' names in a hat, all she could remember, drew one out, and I was it. When she told her ma, and her ma told her pa, and her pa come around looking for me. Well, I was no fall guy even in those days. I took it on the land for Saratoga to look the bang tails over. I started to be a horse player back in the area, though I'd never seen a track, and I've been one ever since. And I ain't done so bad, brother. I made some killings in my time the gangs still gab about. I've been the big bucks more than once, and I will be again.
Well, of course, I've got breaks. What the hell? I always get by when the horses won't run for me. There's always draw or stud, and when they're bad, there's a crap game, and when they're all bad, there's always bucks to be picked up from little errands I ain't talking about, which they give to a guy who can keep his clam shut. I get along, buddy. I get along fine.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I'm keeping you up, sport. Huey was a wide-awake guy. He was always waiting for me to roll in. He'd say, hello, Erie, how the Bangtail treat you? How's luck? Or did you make the old bone behave? And then I'd tell him I'd done. He'd ask, what's new along the big stem? And I'd tell him the latest off the grapevine. Oh, yeah. Sure used to hand me a laugh to hear old Huey cracking like a sport. In all the years I've known him, he never bet a buck on nothing. Well, it ain't his fault. No, he'd have took a chance, but how could he with his wife keeping cases on every nickel of his salary? I showed him lots of ways he could cross her up. But he was too scared. Yeah? The biggest knockout was when he used to kid me about dames. He'd crack,
What? No blonde tonight, Erie? You must be slipping.
You never seen a guy more bashful with a doll around than Huey was.
Yeah. I used to introduce him some of the tramps I'd drag home with me. I'd wise them up to kid him along and pretend they fell for him. In 2 minutes, they'd have him hanging on the ropes, face would get red, look like he wanted to crawl under that desk there. Oh, some of them dolls was raw babies. Made it pretty raw propositions. He'd stutter like he's paralyzed, but he ate it up just the same as tickle pink. Yeah, I used to hope maybe I could nerve him up to do a little cheating. Yeah, I'd offer to fix it up for him with one of my dolls. Hell, I got plenty. I wouldn't have minded. I'd tell him, just let that wife of yours know you're cheating, and she'll have some respect for you. But he was too scared.
Some queens I brought in here in my time, brother. Trail from the follies and the scandals and frolics that would knock your eye out. And I can still make them. You watch. Oh, I ain't slipping.
A job I'd like. I'd bang those cans louder than they do. I'd wake up the whole damn city.
Jesus, what a dummy. Well, might as well hit the hay, I guess.
Good night, Mr. Smith. Hope you have a good rest.
What a crummy dump. What did I come back for? I should have stayed on a drunk. Now, you never guess it, buddy. But when I first come here, this was a classy hotel. Clean, too. I've been camping here off and on for the last 15 years, but I've got a good notion to move out. This place ain't been the same since old Huey got took to the hospital. Oh, the hell, we're going to bed. Yep. Hell, I just lie there worrying. Believe me, brother. Never been a guy to worry. But this time I got to, if I ain't a sap.
Well, that's too bad, Mr. Smith, but they say most of the things we worry about never happen.
Yeah, well, this thing happens, pal. I ain't want to bet at nothing since Huey got took to the hospital. I'm jinxed. And that ain't all. But the hell. You're right. Son. Always turns up for me. I was born lucky. Oh, I ain't worried. I'm just moaning low. You know how it is when you're coming off a drunk. Yeah, Brooklyn boys march over the bridge with bloodhounds to hunt you down. Yeah. I'm still carrying the torch for Huey. His checking out was a real KO for me. Damned if I know why. You know, lots of guys I've been pals with. Croaked or booze or something or got rubbed out. And I always took it as part of the game. Hell, we all got a croak, huh? Look, here today, gone tomorrow. When a guy's dead, he's dead. He don't give a damn, so why should anybody else, huh? Yeah, well. I miss Huey, I guess. I guess I got to like him a lot. Why not? He was ever real pals, you understand. He didn't run in my class, no. Didn't know none of the answers. He was just a sucker. But sure, I'm sorry he's gone. You missed a lot not knowing Huey, pal. Sure was one grand little guy.
Only so many L trains pass in one night. Each one passing leaves one less to pass. But I always tell Jess when she nags me to worry about something. That's life, isn't it? What are you going to do about it?
Say, you do remind me of Huey somehow, pal. You got that same look on your map. Yeah. Suppose it's only the old night clerk look. There's one of them born every minute.
Yeah, Mr. Smith. Professor Barnum said it certainly is true, isn't it?
Nix on the Mr. Smith stuff, Charlie. There's 10 of them born every minute. Call me Erie, like I told you.
All right, Erie.
Yeah. Huey sure was one grand little guy. All the same, like I said, he wasn't the kind of a guy you'd figure a guy like me'd take to. Because he was a sucker, see? Kind of a sack. You'd take to the cleaners a million times and he'd never wise up. He was tough. Well, night after night, just for a gag, I'd get him to shoot crap with me on the desk here with my dice. And he never asked me to give him a once-over. Can you beat that?
Oh, not that I'd ever ring in no phonies on a pal. Oh, God, I'm no heel. Anyway, I didn't need any to take Huey because he never made me knock him against nothing. Just, roll him on the desk here. Oh, boy. If they ever let me throw that way in a real game, I'd be worth $10 million. You know, you'd have thought that Huey'd got wise that something was out of order. And no matter how much he'd win on a run of luck like suckers have sometimes, I'd always take him to the cleaners in the end. But he never suspected nothing. All he'd say was, gosh, Erie, no wonder you took up gambling. You sure were born lucky. Can you beat that? Of course, like I said, it was only a gag. I mean, we played with real jacks just to make it look real, but it was all my jack. Huey never had no jack. His wife dealt him 4 bits a day for spending money. So I'd stake him at the start to half what I had, see? Chicken feed, I mean. We'd pretend a cent was a buck and a nickel was a fin and so on, huh? Oh, that was some big game. He got a big kick out of it. He'd get all head up. Gave me a kick, too, especially when he'd say, gosh, Erie, I don't wonder you never worry about money with your luck. I just can't believe anything. Of course, I stall him off when he wanted to shoot nights. I didn't have a goddamn nickel. Ah, what laughs he used to hand me. He always called the horses the bang tails like he'd known them all his life. He'd never even seen a racehorse. Not until I kidnapped him one day and took him on down to Belmont. Oh, what a kick he got out of that. I was scared he'd pass out with the excitement. And he wasn't doing no betting either. All he had was 4 bits. It was just the track, crowd, and the horses that got him.
Mostly the horses. You know, funny how a dumb, simple guy like Huey can all of a sudden get something right. He says they're the most beautiful things in the world, I think. And he wins. I tell you, pal, I'd rather sleep in the same stall with old man of war than make the whole damn Follies. What do you think?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Smith. Huey.
Oh, yeah? Well, I bet you never seen one either, except back at the old fairgrounds in the sticks. I don't mean them kind of turtles. I mean a real horse.
What do horses have to do with anything? For that matter, what does anything have to do with anything?
And what do you think happened the next night? Damned if Huey didn't dig $2 out of his pants and try to slip into me. Let this ride on the nose of whatever horse you're betting tomorrow, he told me. Well, I got sore. Nix, I said. If you're going to start playing sucker and betting on horse races, you don't get no assist from me. Was that a laugh, huh? Me advising a sucker not to bet when I spent most of my life telling saps a story to make him bet. I said, why'd you grab this dough out of the little woman's purse, huh? What tale are you going to give her when you lose it all? She'll start breaking up the furniture with you. No, he says. She'll just cry. Well, that's worse, I said. No guy can beat that racket. I had a doll cry on me once in a restaurant full of people till I had to promise her a diamond engagement ring to sober her up. Well, anyway, Huey sneaked $2 back in the little woman's purse in her home that night. And that was the end of that. Boy Scouts got nothing on me, pal, when it comes to good deeds. That was one I'd done. Too bad I can't remember no others.
Yeah, I had Dewey sized up for a sap the first time I seen him.
Yeah, I just rolled in from Tijuana. Made a big killing down there. I was lousy with Jack. Came all the way in a drawing room, and I wasn't lonely in it, neither. There was one of those blonde movie dolls on the train. Yeah, I was lucky in them days. I used to follow the horses south every winter. I don't know more. Sick of traveling. And I ain't as lucky as I was. But anyway, this time I'm talking about, as soon as I hit this lobby, I see there's a new night clerk. And while I'm signing up for the bridal suite, I make a little bet with myself that he's never been nothing but a night clerk. And a win. Oh, he wouldn't open up at first. Not that he was cagey about gabbing too much, but like he couldn't think of nothing about himself that was worth saying. But after he'd seen me row in here the last one every night, and I stopped to kid him along and tell him the tale of what I'd win that day, he got friendly and he talked. Came from a hick bird upstate. Graduated high school there and had a shot at different jobs in the old hometown, but couldn't make the grade until he was took on as a night clerk in a hotel there. Oh, that he made good. But he wasn't satisfied. Didn't like being night clerk in the town where everybody knew him. So he'd read somewhere in the Sucker's Almanac, I guess. All the guy had to do was to come to the big town, and old man's success would be waiting at the Grand Central, giving the key to the city. What a gag that is, huh? Even I believed that once, and no one ever called me sucker. But anyway, made the break, come here, and the only job he could get... night clerk. Then he fell in love, or kidded himself he was, and got married. Met her on a subway train. Stopped sudden, and she was jerked into him, and he put his arms around her, and they started talking, and the poor boob never stood a chance. She was a sales girl in some punk department store, sick of standing on her dogs all day and all the way home to Brooklyn, too. So, the way I figure it, knowing Huey and Danes, she proposed, said yes for him, and married him, and after that, of course, he never dared stop being night clerk. Even if he could. Hey. Maybe you think I ain't giving her a square shake, huh? Well, maybe I am. Never gave me one. Put me down for a bad influence and let her chips ride. And maybe Huey couldn't have done no better. Dolls didn't call him no riot. Well, Huey and her seemed happy enough the time they had me out to their flat. Well, not happy. Maybe contented. No, that's boosting it. Resign comes nearer. As if each was giving the other a break by thinking, well, what more could I expect? How do you and your little woman hit it off, brother?
If those cops would only shoot it out with a gunman some night. Nothing exciting has ever happened on any night I've lived through. Oh, guys. You mean my wife? Well, we got along all right, I guess.
Better lay off them headache pills, pal. The first thing you know, some guy's gonna call you dope.
Daylight, Joey? No, it's too early yet.
Well, keep hoping, pal. Huey was as big a dope as you until I gave him some interest in life. That time he took me home to dinner. What a knockout. Took him a hell of a while to get up nerve to ask me. Sure, Huey, I told him I'd be tickled to death. I was thinking I'd rather be shot. For one thing, he lived in Brooklyn, and I'd sooner take a trip to China. Another thing, I'm a guy that likes to eat what I order, not what somebody deals me. And he had kids and a wife, and family racket is out of my line. But Huey looked so tickled I couldn't welsh on him. And it didn't work out so bad. Of course, what he called home was only a dump of a cheap flat. Still, it wasn't so bad for a change. His wife had done a lot of stuff to doll it up. Nothing with no real class, you understand. Just cheap stuff to make it comfortable. And kids wasn't the gorillas I expected, neither. No throwing spitballs in my soup and them kind of gags. It was quiet, like you. Yeah, I kind of liked him. So, after dinner, I started telling him a story about a racehorse a guy I know owned once. I thought it was up to me to put out something, and kids like animal stories, and this one was true at that. Now, this old turtle, see, never wins a race, but he is as foxy as 10 guys. A natural-born crook, the goddamnedest thief. He'd steal anything in reach that wasn't nailed down. I didn't get far. Huey's wife butt in and stopped me cold. Told the kids it was bedtime and hustled them off like I was giving them the measles. Got my goat, kind of. Yeah, could have liked her a little if she'd give me a chance. Not that she was nothing Ziegfeld would want to glorify. When you call her plain, you give her all the breaks. Oh, well, the hell with it. She had me tagged for a bum, and seeing me made her sure she was right. You can bet she told Huey never invite me again, and he never did. He tried to apologize, but I shut him up quick. He says, her mom was brought up strict. She can't help being narrow-minded about gamblers. I said, well, what's it to me? I don't want to hear your dame troubles. I got plenty of my own. Remember that doll I brought home night before last? She gives me an argument. I promised her $10. I told her, listen, baby, I got an impediment in my speech. Maybe it sounded like 10, but it was 2, and that's all you get. Hell, I don't want to buy your soul. What would I do with it? Now she's peddling the news along Broadway. I'm a rat and a chiseler. And, of course, all the rats and chiselers believe her. Before she's through, I won't have a friend left. I switched the subject on Huey, see, on purpose. He never did beef to me about his wife again. Believe me, pal, I can stop guys that start telling me their family troubles.
Going down 6. Will he die, Doctor, or isn't he lucky? I'm afraid not, but he'll have to be absolutely quiet for months and months. With a pretty nurse taking care of him? Probably not pretty. Well, anyway, I say he's lucky.
Yeah, that's a good one, Harry. Yeah. Yeah, that's the best word I heard in a long time.
Jesus. This sure is a dead dump. About as homey as the morgue. It's getting late. Better beat it up to my cell and grab some shut-eye.
Hey, why didn't you tell me you was deep, buddy? I know guys are sensitive about them little afflictions, but I'll keep it confidential.
A fireman's life must be exciting.
Where's the fire? Is it a good one this time? Did it have a good start? Will it be big enough, do you think?
Take my tip, pal, and don't never try to buy from a dope peddler. He'll tell you you had enough already.
I mean big enough to burn down the whole damn city.
Sorry, brother, but there's no chance. There's too much stone and steel. There'll always be something left. Yeah, I guess you're right. There's too much stone and steel. I wasn't really hoping anyway. Doesn't really matter to me.
Well, me for the hay. Christ. It's lonely. I wish Huey were here. By God, if he was, I'd tell him a tale that would make his eyes pop. The bigger the story, the harder he'd fall. Was that kind of a sap. He thought gambling was romantic. I guess he saw me like a sort of dream guy. Sort of guy he'd like to be if he could have took a chance. I guess he led a sort of double life, listening to me gabbing about hitting the high spots. Come to figure it, I'll bet he even cheated on his wife that way, using me and my dolls. No wonder he liked me, huh? Yeah. The bigger I made myself, the more he lapped it up. Oh, I went easy on him at first. I didn't lie. Not anymore than a guy naturally does when he gabs about the bets he wins and the dolls he's made. But I soon see that he's crying for more. And when a sucker cries for more, you're a dope if you don't let him have it. Every tramp I made got to be a Folly's doll. Huey liked them to be Folly's dolls. Or the Scandals, or the Frolics. He wanted me to be the Sheik of Araby, or something any blonde would go round-heeled about. Well, I give him plenty of that. And I give him plenty of gambling tales. I explained my camping in this dump was because I don't want to waste Jack on nothing but gambling. It's like dope to me, I told him. I couldn't quit. He lapped that up. He liked to kid himself. I'm mixed up in the racket, too. Yeah, he thought gangsters was romantic. So I fed him some baloney about hijacking I'd done once. I told him I knew all the big shots. Well, so I do, most of them. To say hello, and sometimes they say hello back, and, well, who wouldn't know him? It hangs around Broadway in the joints. I run little errands for him sometimes because there's dough in it. But you see, I'm cagey about getting in where it ain't healthy. Huey wanted to think that me and Legs Diamond was old pals, so I give him that too. I give him anything he cried for. Don't get me wrong, pal. What I fed Huey wasn't all lies. And tales about gambling wasn't. They were stories of big games and killings that really happened since I've been hanging around. Only I wasn't in on them, like I made out. Except one or two from way back, when I had a run of big luck and was in the bucks for a while, before I got took to the cleaners. Yeah.
Huey lapped up my stories like they was duck soup or a beak full of heroin. I sure took him around with me in tails and showed him one hell of a time. And you know, it done me good, too, in a way. Sure, I'd get to seeing myself like he seen me. Some nights I'd come back here without a buck, feeling lower than a snake's belly. And the first thing you know, I'd be lousy with Jack betting a grand a race. Oh, I was wise. I was kidding myself. I'm not a sap, but what the hell? Huey loved it. And it didn't cost nobody nothing. And if every guy along Broadway who kids himself was to drop dead, there wouldn't be nobody left. Ain't it the truth, Charlie?
Hmm? Truth? I'm afraid I didn't get what... What's the truth?
Nothing, pal. Not a thing.
I should pay $4.92 more attention. After all, he's company. He's awake and alive. I should use him to help me live through the night. What's he been talking about? He must have heard some of it without meaning to.
I could tell by Huey's face before he went to hospital he was through. I seen the same look on guys' faces when they knew they was on the spot. Just before guys caught up with him. I went to see him twice in the hospital. First time, his wife was there and gave me a dirty look. But he cooked up a smile and he said, "Hello, Erie. How are the bangtails treat you?" I see he wants a big story to cheer him, but his wife butts in and says he's weak and he mustn't get excited. I felt like cracking. Well, the doctor in this dump got the right dope. Just leave you with him and he'll never get excited. Well, the second time I went, they wouldn't let me see him. That was near the end. I went to his funeral, too. There wasn't nobody there except a couple of his wife's relations. I feel sorry for her, too. She looked like she ought to be parked in a coffin, too. The kids was bawling. And there wasn't no flowers, except a couple of lousy wreaths. But, boy, been a punk showing for old Huey if it hadn't been for my flower piece. Oh, that was some display, pal. It'd knock your eye out. Set me back $100 and no kidding. A big horseshoe of red roses. I knew Huey'd want a horseshoe, because that made it look like he'd been a horse player. And around the top, printed in forget-me-nots, was, "Goodbye, old pal." Huey liked to kid himself he was my pal. So he was at that, even if he was a sucker.
What's he been talking about? He's been gassing for hours. What's he been telling me? I must be slipping. Always before this, I've been able to hear without even bothering to listen. But now, well, I've got it. Gambling. He said a lot about gambling. That's something I've always wanted to know more about, too. Maybe he's a professional gambler, like Arnold Rothstein.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Erie, but
Did I understand you to say that you're a gambler by profession? Do you by any chance know the big shot, Arnold Rothstein?
Christ, I wish Huey was alive and kicking. I'd tell him I win 10 grand from the bookies, and 10 grand a stud, and 10 grand in a crap game. I'd tell him I bought one of those big Mercedes sports roasters with nickel pipes sticking out the hood. I'd tell him I lay 3 babes from the Follies, 2 blondes and 1 brunette.
Arnold Rothstein. Oh, he must be some guy. I read a story about him. He'll gamble for any limit on anything and always wins. The story said he wouldn't even bother to play in a poker game unless the smallest bet you could make, 1 white chip, was $100. Christ, that's going some. I'd like to have the dough to get in a game with him once. The last pot, everyone would drop out but him and me. And I'd say, okay, Arnold, the sky's the limit. And I'd raise it, 5 grand. And he'd call, and I'd have a royal flush to his 4 aces. So then I'd say, okay, Arnold, I'm a good sport. I'll give you a break. I'll cut you double or nothing, but just 1 cut. I want quick action for my dough. And I'd cut the ace of spades. And I'd win again.
Huey's better off at that being dead. He's got all the luck. He needn't do no worrying now. He's out of the racket. I mean, the whole goddamn racket. I mean, life.
Yes, it is a goddamn racket when you stop to think in 492. But we might as well make the best of it because, well, you can't burn it all down, can you? I mean, there's too much stone and steel. There'll always be something left to start it going again.
Say, what is this? What the hell are you talking about?
Well, to be frank, I really don't. It's just something that come into my head.
I'll get it out of your head quick, Charlie, or some guys in uniform will walk in here with a butterfly net and catch you. Hey, listen, pal. Maybe you guess I was kidding about that flower piece for Huey costing $100, huh? Well, I ain't kidding. I didn't give a damn what it cost. It was up to me to give Huey a big-time send-off because I knew nobody else would.
Oh, I'm not doubting your word, Huey. You wouldn't have any gambling, I suppose. Huh? I beg your pardon if I'm mistaken, but you are a gambler, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. Well, I got scratched to put up what of it, but I don't win that $100, Charlie. I don't win a bet since Huey was took to the hospital. I had to get down on my knees and beg every guy I knew for a sawbuck here and a sawbuck there until I raised it.
Do you by any chance know Arnold Rothstein?
Arnold? What the hell's he got to do with it? He wouldn't loan a guy like me a nickel to save my grandmother from streetwalking.
Then you do know him?
Oh, sure, I know that bastard who don't on Broadway, and he knows me when he wants to. He uses me to run little errands for him. Well, he ain't got no one else handy, but he ain't my trouble, pal. My trouble is that some of these guys I put the bite on is dead wrong G's, and they expect to be paid back next Tuesday. Or else I'm out of luck, and I have to take it on the lam, or I'll get beat up. Maybe sent to hospital. Ah, but what the hell? I was wise I was taking a chance. I always took a chance, and if I lose, I pay, and no welcome. And it sure was worth it to give Huey the big-time send-off. But even that ain't my big worry, Charlie. My big worry is the run of bad luck I had since Huey got took to the hospital.
Not a win. That ain't natural.
I've always been a lucky guy. Lucky enough to get by and pay up, I mean. I'd never worry about owing guys the way I owe them guys. I'd always know I'd make a win that would fix it. But now I got a lousy hunch. When I lost Huey, I lost my luck. I mean, I've lost the old confidence. He used to give me confidence. No use gabbing here all night. You can't do any of this.
Just a minute, Harry, if you don't mind. So you're an old friend of Arnold Rothstein, huh? Would you mind telling me if it's really true when Arnold Rothstein plays poker, one white chip is $100?
For Christ's sake, what's it to you?
Say, Charlie. Why didn't you put me wise before you was interested in gambling? Hell, I got you all wrong, pal. I've been telling myself this guy ain't like old you. He ain't got no sporting blood. He's just a dope. But now I see.
You're a right guy.
Sake. That's the stuff. Yeah. You and me will get along fine. Hey, I'll give you all the breaks like I give Huey.
Thank you, Harry. Is it true when Arnold Rothstein plays poker, one white chip
sets you back $100? Sure. Why not? Arnold's in the bucks, ain't he? And when you're in the bucks, a C note is chick. I had it, no, pal. Yeah. I was in the box when Arnold was a piker. Well, one time down in New Orleans, I lit a cigar with a C note, eh, just for a gag. I was with a bunch of high-class dolls, and I wanted to see their eyes pop out. And believe me, brother, they sure popped. After that, I could have made them one at a time or all together. Hell, you know, I once went $20,000 on a single race. That's action. A good crap game's action, too. Hell, I've been in games where there was $100,000 in real folder money lying around the floor. That's traveling. Yeah. Of course, I wouldn't kid you. I'm not in the bucks now, you know. No, not right at this moment. You know how it is, Charlie. You're down today and up tomorrow. I got some dough, though, riding on the nose of a turtle and a fourth at Saratoga. I hear a story that he's so full of hop, if the jock can keep him jumping over the grandstand, he wins by a mile. So, I roll in here with a blood that'll knock your eyes out. Don't be surprised.
Hmm? Oh, you can't surprise me that way. I've been a night clerk in New York my whole life, almost. I'll forget the house rules, Harry.
Yeah, the manager wouldn't like you to remember something he ain't heard of yet.
Huh? Huh?
Oh! Hey, how about shooting a little crap, Charlie?
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, just in fun, like I used to with Huey. I know you can't afford to take no chances, so I'll stake you, see? There. Huh. I got a couple of bucks. You know, we gotta use real Jack, or it don't look real. But so am I, Jack, get it? Huh? You can't lose. I just want to show you how I'll take you to the cleaners. It'll give me confidence. Here you are. You want to give these dice the once-over before we start?
Oh, what do you think I am? I know I can trust you.
Oh, you remind me a lot of Huey, pal. He always trusted me. Don't blame me if I'm lucky. You know, it's time I quit carrying the torch for Huey. Yeah, what's the use? Don't do him no good. He's gone. Like we all gotta go. Him yesterday, me and you tomorrow, and who cares and what's the difference? It's all in the racket, huh? I shoot 2 bits.
I fade you.
4 is my point. Easy, when you got my luck and know-how, Charlie.
That was Huey by Eugene O'Neill. Directed by Jose Quintero, with Jason Robards as Erie and Jack Dodson as the night clerk. The sound design was by Randy Tom, recorded at Skywalker North Studios, with production and engineering assistance by Dennis Leonard, Sharon Tom, Kent Brown, and Jim McKee.